News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
You will, of course, have been seeing the Artemis 2 coverage. They have gone to literally where no one, or to quote Star Trek, no man has gone before, and completed their lunar flyby, which means they are the people to have travelled furthest from Earth in the apogee of their journey. David Whitehouse is with us, astronomer and science writer. David, they have managed to set a record. Does it matter?
Well, yes, I think it does. This is history. This is something that raises our eyes above our everyday lives, our everyday cares and worries. We have lived far too long in a world where going to the moon is something we did decades and decades ago, where only five people alive actually did it. Now there are four more to add to that roster, and what they saw was truly remarkable and inspirational, and the start of something new for new generations. So I would contend it was important and it was great.
Now, back when they did it the last time, there was a sort of an underlying logic to the space race, which was proof of what one could do if one was minded with an intercontinental ballistic missile. What's the justification this time? Is this science just pure for its own merits?
No, it's not just science. I mean, there's a lot of science and technology and inspiration and going back to the moon, walking on the moon in a few years' time, building up a moon base, which America is going to do and China is going to do. And that's the point. Beyond the footprints and the traveling around the moon, this is about the United States' stake on this century, on the intellectual leadership of this century. It does not want to live in a world where China is the only country going and living on the moon, and everybody else looks up at the moon and thinks of China. So this is, in some sense, big power, whether or not people align themselves with the democratic West or the rising East. So there are so many aspects to going to the moon. Politics, inspiration, science, it all comes together, just like it did when the Soviet Union initially beat the Americans in the space race.
Now, undoubtedly, they won't want to count chickens until they're hatched and everybody is landed splashdown safely. But at this point in the mission, where the furthest element of it is over, how will it be being assessed? Has it been a success and has it provided much in the way of learning?
It's been a tremendous success. They are now leaving the moon in about 10 hours' time. They will move out of the moon's gravitational sphere of influence as they start to return to Earth for the splashdown on Friday, which is actually the most dangerous part of the mission. But so far, apart from the toilet, it has to be said, now there's always a problem with the toilet when you go into space. Apart from that problem, the craft, all the instruments, all the monitoring equipment, the crew themselves, it's all worked remarkably well, far better than people had thought. This is a fine ship that they're going to the moon with. And when they wind down now and get a bit of rest, they've got a day off, few more observations, few more measurements to do, building up for their return on Friday.
It is remarkable, I suppose, David, when you look back at the fact that this was that we were capable of doing this in the first place back in the 1960s, because the computing power that those astronauts have at their hands compared to what they had on the original moon orbit and moon landing missions, it is just a chasm of difference, isn't it?
Oh, absolute chasm. It makes what people did in the 1960s and early 70s look even the more remarkable, because now the iPhones that the astronauts were allowed to take with them and take personal pictures were far more powerful than the Apollo guidance and landing computers that they used to go to the moon. And I think it shows that, well, when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon in July 1969, he piloted the spacecraft himself. He ignored the computer in many respects and flew a remarkable profile to land on the surface. I think that shows just how amazing those Apollo astronauts were when they had so little help, which the astronauts today, you know, they live by their computers. In fact, there are some people actually who are worried that sometimes if computer says no, they might be in a problem.
David, thank you very much for that analysis. That's Dr. David Whitehouse, astronomer and science writer. 53106, if you'd like to get in touch, 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.